I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a safe space here for independent thinkers. Snowflakes, be warned. Got a ton of news today. Kind of segmented here. I'm going through my notes. I had talked about not watching the State of the Union address, and not because of who was giving it or what was going to be in it, but the fact that I just don't watch or really care for speeches written by professional speechwriters that are crafted with the help of political advisors. I think that's one of the problems that we have now. There's a whole lot of talk, and the actions generally do not follow, or they follow poorly, or they follow in the opposite direction. I just am not a speech guy. Let's see what an island I am on. I saw the headlines. 34 million people watch the State of the Union. 34 million people. And I, you know, this is one of those things. It's again, you've got a radio show host for 2 hours a day that is just wired very differently from the vast majority of people. I've got some clips I'm going to play in a little bit. I've kind of, through going through the news, found some different things about the State of the Union. Some good, some I'd see unfavorables. But anyway, there are a couple of things that I may talk about in it, just because there's a little surprise to me that the Republican Party is supporting some things that I don't know, they probably would have been left wing things just not that long ago. There seems to be a creeping socialism within the Republican Party too, which to somebody who's a small limited government guy like me, I'm a libertarian for this reason. I realize that tremendous power in one city just breeds corruption and growth. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy up there. It's always going to get bigger. So anyway, I've got a couple of clips that I'll play from that today. But of course, golly gee willikers, surprise, 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 Trump was found not guilty yesterday. It is almost as if this decision was predetermined. You know, there was a lot of hand-wringing yesterday about Mitt Romney, will he, won't he, and he ends up voting guilty on one of the charges. And he is probably not long for the Republican Party. There's a couple of things I'm very, very proud of myself on. And I pass this on to you because you can save yourself a great deal of aggravation. Number one, I did not waste my time or your time reporting on every minute of the impeachment because I knew the outcome from the day that they announced it. The fact that Mitt Romney or they could have had 10 more senators vote to convict Donald Trump, he still wasn't going anywhere. It's a 67 vote threshold to remove him from office. And I'm just curious to know, what do you think about wasting the last 6 months of your time on this, wasting the previous two on the Russia stuff? But really 6 months of endless news coverage, endless political fighting among the people for something that was obviously preordained and was obviously going to happen. I saw a headline that said that the stock market was rallying on the acquittal. And all I could think was, what? Did they think there was a chance that Trump was going to be removed? There's never been the slightest hint, ever. Not the slightest indication. Not a will they want. This is the biggest example of political theater I have ever seen. Now, I don't know if I went back and looked at the Monica Lewinsky, the Clinton impeachment. It was probably Rhimes. I was a partisan vote there, too. But boy, I'm so proud of myself that I did not waste the last 6 months of our time covering every movement of this impeachment stuff. I avoided it pretty much at every turn because I knew that yesterday would come and go and we would be exactly where we are right now. The other thing I'm a little proud about, the headline was Senator Mitt Romney broke ranks with his party and said he would vote to convict President Trump on one impeachment charge of abuse of power, calling Trump's conduct with Ukraine, quote, an appalling abuse of public trust. So the second thing that I'm proud of myself for is they never tricked me into voting for Mitt Romney in 2012. And see, that's the thing about being able to kind of sit back and objectively look at candidates or talking points from one party or the other. I didn't trust Mitt Romney in 2012. So there's many people out there saying, oh, well, did you vote for Barack Obama? No, absolutely not. 2012, I believe I voted for the Libertarian Party. In 2008, when John McCain was the candidate, I voted for the Constitution Party. I actually believe there should be 4, 5, 6, 7 political parties in this country. Viable parties. There are that many parties in the United States, but there should be dramatically more. My dream for Washington, D.C. would be 6 or 7 parties all at each other's throat, massive gridlock, getting absolutely nothing done. Nothing done whatsoever. But yeah, so I didn't fall for Mitt Romney. And this is one of those things where I talk about, I think it's a teachable moment. You judge people by who they are, not because a party promotes them. We've seen these two political parties, both Democrats and Republicans, have been fed up with the establishment in both of their parties. Democrats trying to break free by voting for Bernie Sanders, but they're being thwarted. We'll talk about that today. Boy, the DNC is a scumbag organization, aren't they? I heard yesterday, this is actually on the Kim Wade Show, and I think I'd heard a little something about this before, and I need to know. I'll admit, I didn't stop and really do the research. I did a quick search of this. I had to go after I was listening to Kim Wade's show, and I did a quick internet search for this, and the only thing I found was Snopes. Snopes, don't trust Snopes, okay? They may get some things right, but boy, Snopes is not Snopes is not the arbiter of all truth. Beware of anybody who says they have all the truths and they can tell you exactly what is and what is not as some authority. But I heard them talking yesterday. A caller called and asked this. He sounded like he was asking a serious question, that Trump could serve a third term because he was acquitted in the Senate. That he gets a mulligan so he can run in 2020 and then he could run again in 2024. I need to see some proof of that. MikeMadison@WYAB.com. If you have some proof that this can take place, because I sure as hell didn't hear that going on. Anybody floating the idea of Bill Clinton being able to run again in 2000, and you know he would have. That man was clinging to power. Bill Clinton loved being president. And if he could have gotten a third term, that first lady of his, the witch, she would have demanded that he get right back in there and serve another term so she could continue to consolidate her power. But if there is any any proof, if anybody actually has this information to that effect, that it might have just been a joke. Maybe they were just kind of joking, saying, yeah, well, now he's going to get a third. I don't know. There is a really funny meme going around on the left. It's not meant to be funny, but it is very funny. I don't know if you've seen this. I don't get on, I don't do Twitter. I have to stumble across these things in news articles or conservative media or something like that. But there's a picture of Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. And I don't remember what Nancy Pelosi was doing. I don't think it's a picture of her ripping up the speech. Which, by the way, that was so pre-scripted. And it didn't really hit me until yesterday. I saw on the news they were trying to ask a question to Pelosi, I guess as she was leaving the State of the Union. And they said, why did you tear up the speech? And she said it was a manifesto of mistruths or misrepresentation or misinformation. I think she said it was a manifesto of mistruths. And there is no way Nancy Pelosi came up with that on the spot. Nancy Pelosi had that little stunt pre-orchestrated and ready to roll out at the end of that speech, no matter how the speech had gone, no matter what Donald Trump has said. I'm not sure if she gets an advance copy of the speech or not, but she there is no way she came up with her little slogan. And I love my alliteration. Hump Day Health, False Flag Friday, Mike Madison, Manifesto of Mistruths. Yeah, I'm with her on the alliteration. I don't, you know, I'm not saying that's what the speech was, but there's just no way she came up with that on the fly. But this meme going around on the left has got a picture of Pelosi and Schiff in it. And the text that is, you know, overlaid the picture, it says, sets impeachment trap, gets all Republicans on record as traitors to the Constitution. Brilliant. This has been one of the more amusing things of watching the Democratic talking points during the course of impeachment. And it really kind of, this is kind of the crescendo of it in looking at this text. When has the Democratic Party ever cared about the Constitution? Does this guy who created this meme, does he think that the left is some kind of a fan of the Constitution and that they somehow are incensed that the Republicans have breached their constitutional duty, which I don't think they have, but still. It has just been hilarious to me to watch the Democratic Party talk about the Constitution. I don't know, for you people on the left, any Democrats listening, do you know that the Constitution doesn't allow for this massive tax structure that's been created? It's not constitutional. Try arguing that in court. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not, more often not, but it's not. Constitution doesn't allow for giant, massive social programs and nationalized health care. Everything that the Democrat Party wants to do is extra constitutional. It's just they've just decided that these are the powers that they have bestowed upon themselves. But the left says, sets impeachment trap, gets all Republicans on record as traitors to the Constitution. Brilliant. This is the left's version of the 5D chess that Trump is credited with, I guess. Of course, when it comes to impeachment, there is one other little juicy nugget that I've got to say I kind of like, just for maybe it's a selfish reason. I'm capable of some selfishness, but it sounds like the House, the Democrats are going to, in the House, get John Bolton to testify anyway, since the Senate couldn't allow witnesses, that the House is going to go in. CNN reports that the Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler is planning to subpoena John Bolton to testify in the House after moderate Senate Republicans refused to join Democrats in demanding that the Senate call Bolton to testify about claims made in an upcoming book. Now, the reason I'm kind of in favor of this is because this will be further illustration of the snake and scumbag that John Bolton is. I want to make sure in the minds of conservatives and Republicans, he is irreparably stained. Should have never been brought into the administration. Should have never been close to either the Bush administration or the Trump administration. And this will further drive that point home. There are other snakes currently serving in the administration that are of like mind of John Bolton. You would be wise to turn on them now before they sacrifice more troop lives, get us embroiled in more conflicts, or turn on Donald Trump, start a war in Iran, and cost him his presidency and his legacy. You would do well to get on board with challenging many of the people in the foreign policy establishment, including Mike Pompeo, your Secretary of State. But don't listen to me now. Just wait. Cheer him on as Trump's guy. And when he kicks off the next Iran war, costing Trump the presidency in 2020, or after 2020, it just turns into another quagmire and bloodbath, you can wake up to it then. It'd be good to get ahead of the curve. I'll be right back. Plenty of stuff to go over today. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYU.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. If you have anything that says that Trump can run for re-election in 2024, that he gets a mulligan on his first term because he was acquitted by the Senate, I need to see that. I say I've heard this floated out there, and it seems serious. This this may be a trolling of the left. So pardon me if I sound really stupid here, like I'm falling for something, but I've heard some people talking about it kind of earnestly and seen it written down where people seem to believe that this is the case. And I'm curious. So either call in or you can email Mike Madison at WYAB and let me know. I wanted to do a little bit on State of the Union because there was a couple of things that I ran across. I just see clips of it. Again, I can't sit through speeches. I don't care where it is, who it is. I went to the Republican debates in 2016 for the Greg Harper's House seat. And I mean, I know Michael Guest. It's a super nice guy. All the dealings I've ever had with him are positive. Now, you can make your own judges as him as a legislator, and our own James Tulp thinks he can do a better job. You need to take a look at James Tulp, jamestulp.com, see what you think about him. But I listened to, I think there were five or six candidates running for that House seat back in 2016, and it was so much nothing. My legs were bouncing. I so badly wanted to be on that stage because it was just talking points and it was platitudes. And again, it seemed like it was nice people up there. It's nothing personal. It's just, I just can't stand political speech. I just don't like it. It says nothing to me. It just does. I'm always more interested in actions. But I've run across things since then that I was a little surprised, and so I did a little bit of research. You know, you can't avoid things that go into the speech, and so I wanted to hear a couple of them. One was the idea that Trump was talking about school choice. Now, that's very refreshing. I've got a clip here where I think he mentions it, and I don't know. Let me see if I've got – I haven't even heard this clip yet, but apparently a scholarship was given out, and I was confused on whether or not, you know, exactly what that was. So let me see if that was in here or not. Yeah, there's this clip right here. I guess he gave a scholarship to somebody. I guess we'll listen to this together. I'm a huge advocate for school choice. I remember getting into a conversation with a very smart friend of mine years and years, probably back in the 90s, when I was talking about school choice and how sad it was that, you know, kids with a bunch of promise, kids that deserve better, were trapped in bad schools, and that people should be able to choose what school they go to. It even struck me at the time when I was in my 20s, back in the 1990s, and I thought, how odd is it in the United States that you can't choose what school you go to? It just seemed odd. Are we not free human beings? Do parents not have the option to send their kids? Now, yes, you can send your kids to private school and pay for it and all that good stuff. That's the case. But it was always very odd to me that Democrats were so hell-bent on the idea of, no, if you live here, you go here. And my friend's argument, again, super nice guy. He was a Democrat at the time. Funny thing is, he's now a libertarian. But he said, no, because you would take all the smart kids out of the bad schools and just leave a bunch of, you know, underachieving kids in bad schools. And I thought, well, that's a hell of a thing. You are going to punish and penalize students who want to achieve something because other kids won't leave. Kids that want to go tackle their education. It was just stunning to me at the time. School choice, though, however, should be, seems to me, some kind of a state issue. So I'm going to listen to this clip with you. I don't know if this is supposed to be a federal fix. Again, we look to Washington, D.C. to do everything now. This is not conservative. It's not constitutional, but it's where we are in most people's minds. If you see a problem out there, you're waiting for Uncle Sam, Uncle Fed, Uncle Sugar to come fix it for you. And this is always surprising to me on the Republican side, because there were some other things that were brought up that really they're socialist policies being espoused by the Republican Party now. Anyway, this was let's listen to Trump on school choice.
The next step forward in building an inclusive society is making sure that every young American gets a great education and the opportunity to achieve the American dream. Yet for too long, countless American children have been trapped in failing government schools.
Is this where he is about to say, for that reason, I am tonight announcing the dissolution of the Department of Education? Am I right? Am I close? Let's see.
To rescue these students, 18 states have created school choice in the form of opportunity scholarships. The programs are so popular that tens of thousands of students remain on a waiting list. One of those students is Janiyah Davis, a fourth grader from Philadelphia. Janiyah. Janiyah's mom, Stephanie, is a single parent. She would do anything to give her daughter a better future. But last year, that future was put further out of reach when Pennsylvania's governor vetoed legislation to expand school choice to 50,000 children.
Good Lord.
Janiyah and Stephanie are in the gallery. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here with your beautiful daughter. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, he gives her a scholarship. This clip's a little bit too long. You know, I thought I was going to come on air today. I did almost like a skit. And I cut it out right before I came into the studio. I had found an applause sound effect. The applause of these things just drives me nuts. Is it just me? Obviously, I've got a bee in my bonnet for these speeches. And it's not against Trump. I warned you at the beginning of the show. I said, this is for independent thinkers. Snowflakes, beware. This is not a Chris. It's all of these speeches. The pause lines, you know, the obligatory 20 to 30 seconds of applause after every time. You know, when our kids accomplish things in school, what do they tell us at the very beginning of the thing? Please hold your applause till the end of the thing. We can't even, you know, when we're out at a public, at a school function with our children, we can't even applaud for our own children, which is fine. It's in the interest of time and monotony. We sacrifice applauding for our children right there at the time. Yeah, we give them a little whoo. We give them a little something, but we save the applause for the end. But boy, politicians, they don't abide by the rules. Try to put up a little sign somewhere about your business to advertise your business on the side of the road. You're looking at fines. The sign will be ripped down. They'll contact you. They'll fine you for it. But a politician wants to run for office, they can litter the landscape with campaign signs. Anyway, this was good. I really like the fact that Trump is calling attention to school choice. I'm not sure if he's calling for a federal fix for this or if he is just trying to say children deserve better, and they do. For how long have we allowed our education system to just wither on the vine? It's so sad and pathetic, and it shows the impotence of the ability of the federal government to do any good, to actually accomplish anything, and it really kind of shows a helplessness by the people. And I'm looking at you, Democrats. I'm a public school product. I graduated from Murrah High School. A lot of very successful, very well-to-do people in the Jackson area graduated from Murrah High School. I run into them all the time, generations ahead of me and since. Still National Merit Scholars there. But the fact that Americans don't have a choice on where they go to school is just nuts. And Democrats, you're trapping kids in failing schools for decades and decades. It's stunning. Anyway, I applaud his drawing attention to this. I hope they're not proposing some kind of a federal fix for this, because spoiler alert, it won't work. it just doesn't work. And if the taxpayers are the ones that are on the hook for these scholarships, I have a problem with that too. There's all kinds of great free market ways to do school choice, but you know, I mean, that's lost in the new political world we're in, where some government needs to take care of this or take care of that. As a libertarian, I find it objectionable. Most people think it's the way the world's supposed to work. But anyway, good on him on school choice. A couple other clips, though. I ran across, really what got me even started talking about this is, there was a guest at the State of the Union that I was pretty shocked to see. Yeah, I was just shocked to see it. And I'm pretty shocked to see Republicans supporting it, too. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, before I came on air here at WYAB, I did a podcast, and I was just thinking, I need to go back and look through my archives of my podcast, get the recording, because I believe that I narrated a Barack Obama State of the Union address, which I held in great contempt. And I probably need to maybe post that, repost it as an archive to my current podcast that you can get, which is themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. But I'm always critical of these speeches. You know, it used to be very patriotic to question power of any kind. You know, the founding fathers were very suspicious of a strong national government. They thought it was very patriotic to question that a free people didn't trust a lot of power. That used to be kind of the rule, and I don't know how long ago that went away. That kind of used to be the rule. You question power. You hold them accountable. You hold their feet to the fire. You don't give them unnecessary power, those kinds of things. Now we've morphed into just the two teams, right? And if your guy's in charge, you want the government to do everything. If the other guy's in charge, you want the government to do nothing. Everything that they touch is bad. I guess I'm old school, like 1700s old school. But I certainly would rip every single State of the Union given by Barack Obama. And for as long as I draw breath, we'll probably do the same thing for all of them. But there were a couple of things in the State of the Union that I ran across on clips. And there was this one clip I'll play in just a second that was one of the reasons I even started searching for a clip, because I just saw a mention of one of the guests at the State of the Union address. And I thought, oh my gosh, really? But this was one that was talked about, and I've been doing research since I actually came on air during the breaks. This is surprising to me as a new Republican talking point and policy idea.
To help support working parents, the time has come to pass school choice for Americans' children.
Yay, I'm down with that. Okay. Again, if this is a federal policy, I'm less enthusiastic. This is a state's issue, but okay, school choice, good idea. I'm glad he's talking about it.
I am also proud to be the first president to include in my budget a plan for nationwide paid family leave so that every new parent has the chance to bond with their newborn child.
What? Now, let me see. Yeah, okay, I've got I'm looking at the footage here. This is we got Schumer clapping, Ivanka and Jared clapping. I'm not sure. Let me go back in this clip. I took my eyes off the screen for a second and see if this was a bipartisan. They don't show the crowd. They just show Ivanka, Jared, Eric Trump. But it looks like this may be a bipartisan. Chuck Schumer is standing up, and his Democratic side is standing up for the paid family leave. I'm not sure if the Republican side stood up, but it sounded like a pretty substantial applause. When did it become Republican or conservative for the taxpayer to be on the hook for 6 weeks, or is it 12 weeks? Maybe 12 weeks of paid family leave for federal employees. I mean, I'm all for moms spending time with children. And it's not just moms, dads spending time with children. This is one of those things that American people are empowered to do through vacation time saving up or creating a job, whatever. People have figured it out throughout the dawn. You know, really, if it was individual income tax was zero, then one parent would stay at home anyway. But again, that's old school thinking, Mike. That's like founding fathers thinking. You got to pay your VIG to the federal government. More on that in a little bit. But when did it become conservative or Republican for paid family leave? Now, what I was thinking is he's introduced this in his budget. And I know there is something out there for federal employees get 12 weeks. It is 12 weeks. It's not 6 weeks. Silly me. 6 weeks isn't enough time to bond with a baby. You got to give your employees 3 months off paid by the taxpayer. But I looked it up. I was thinking, well, he says all workers. And I found this this story on McClatchy. President Donald Trump pushed lawmakers to provide paid family leave to all workers in his upcoming State of the Union address to Congress. Trump will highlight his administration's role in securing the package of defense legislation that Congress approved in December that included 12 weeks. Nothing says defense of the United States like 12 weeks of paid parental leave for federal workers. So this is what it says here in this article. Trump will highlight his administration's role in securing the passage of defense legislation that Congress approved in December that included, for some strange reason, 12 weeks of paid parental leave for federal workers. And the sentence goes on, an accomplishment the administration sees as paving the way for a private sector program. A White House official said the president's anticipated Tuesday evening remarks will convey the sentiment, quote, we are making progress, so let's keep moving forward. The federal government has set the example. What? What? This is socialism. You understand that, don't you? And again, stay home. When I had children, my wife at the time stayed home for a year. Turned out to hurt pretty substantially financially. And I had hoped that she could stay home for all of the time I chose, but I wasn't successful enough. She had to go back to work. We just made this choice, sacrificed a lot, stayed home for a year. This is not good, people. We're broke. We're broke, and we just gave federal employees 12 weeks paid time off. And paid family leave, as I understand it, is not just for the birth of a child. No. One of your family members goes down, you have a sickness, an illness, federal worker gets to take 3 months off paid by the taxpayer to take care of that relative. I have not seen the rules on this. I really need to dig into this because this could be a real disaster. I don't know how many federal employees there are right now, but it's in the millions. I'm not sure how often they can take. Well, what happens if your mother gets sick and you take 3 months paid leave off for that and you come back to work for a couple of months and then your dad gets sick? Do you get another 3 months of paid leave? Is it just once a year? How will this be abused at the federal level? That's question one. Question two is, and why I was curious to see if Republicans in this crowd were standing up and cheering for this. Yeah, it's popular with the people, but so is free health care and free college. If Republicans were standing up for this, are they seriously wanting to see the private sector, the small business owner, be forced into a situation by federal law to grant their employees 3 months off paid Is this the Republican Party now? That is socialism. Bernie Sanders labels himself as it, and we're incensed. But I got to call a spade a spade. This is socialism. But the socialism is not over. When I come back, I got to take a quick break. When I come back, the guest that I was shocked to see at the State of the Union address.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Let me tell you why I'm doing these segments. Because I am watching real time conservative people being sold socialism. President Trump famously said at some speech, I can't remember what it was, the United States will never be a socialist country, to great applause. Is there a term for socialism light? You know, kind of just up to our waist in socialism? Paid family leave at the federal level is a socialist huge entitlement program for federal workers. If this goes out to the private sector, it's just full-on socialism. You are government control over private business, forcing employers to give their... The cost of this, I have owned and managed small businesses. That would be a devastating thing to small businesses, dictated by the government. Pre-existing conditions is now a Republican thing. Now, I know it's popular, so I guess it's just political. But forcing private insurers, of which I'm no fan, forcing them to cover private insurers, forcing private insurers to cover pre-existing conditions is socialism. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, socialism. Social Security even throws social in the word. Conservatives should be outraged by this. You know, we look at Bernie Sanders and we get so mad at the millennials and the snowflakes and the Democrats who just have their hands out and they want their stuff. I got to tell you, I'm not seeing a whole lot of difference. It's like, well, Republicans want some stuff too. Defense contractors want their stuff. Bankers get their stuff. I got a story about Amazon. Amazon's getting all kinds of stuff. Do you see the tax rate on what Amazon's paying in taxes? Yeah, Amazon's got his hand out too. This is the guest that led me to even look at some of this State of the Union, because I didn't believe it at first when I saw this guest that had been invited to the State of the Union address. And again, this, I think this kind of dovetails. We're talking about socialism here, and it's like out of one side of the Republican mouth is, and you have not tuned into some left-winger, I'm against socialism. Out of one side of the Republican's mouth is, we're fighting socialism here and abroad. While out of the other side of their mouth is, here's some socialist policies we think should be enacted. Here is what you will think is the U.S. fighting socialism abroad. And I'll explain to you on the other side of this why you're wrong.
We are supporting the hopes of Cubans, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans to restore democracy. The United States is leading a 59-nation diplomatic coalition against the socialist dictator of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro.
It is interesting to see some of the Democrats stand up for that. You're about to have a socialist as your nominee for president.
Maduro is an illegitimate ruler, a tyrant who brutalizes his people. but Maduro's grip on tyranny will be smashed and broken. Here this evening,
oh God,
is a very brave man.
Don't do it.
Who carries with him the hopes, dreams, and aspirations of all Venezuelans.
Please, no.
Joining us in the gallery
are you
is the
me?
True and legitimate president of Venezuela,
no. Don't
Juan
say it.
Guaido.
Oh, you said
Mr.
it.
Mr. President, please take this message back to your family.
Juan Guaido was there, and he was addressed as Mr. President. This is truly bizarro world. Absolute bizarro world. Now, people who want to do some mental gymnastics to think that the United States is fighting socialism and we're helping the Venezuelan people, I got to tell you, the Venezuelan people are starving. They're not... They've been blockaded from trading their oil, their one huge natural resource. We are brutalizing with our policies the Venezuelan people. So I don't buy this. We love the people. We're going to starve them until they get so hungry that they overthrow their government. That's U.S. foreign policy. But for those of you who think that this is the United States assuming the mantle of world leadership and fighting the socialists while actually implementing socialist policies here at home, Juan Guaido is a socialist. This man is not a capitalist or a right-winger. I wouldn't be any more in favor of the overthrow of another country's government. But Juan Guaido is a socialist. His party is the Popular Will Party, a left-wing socialist party. The only distinction is, near as I can tell, and pardon me if I might seem a little suspicious or jaded or cynical here, he's our socialist. Well, when I say ours, I don't mean yours and mine. What I mean is Juan Guaido is the CIA-trained, State Department-trained socialist that we can install in Venezuela. Why? Anyone? 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 Because Juan Guaido will be the socialist that will allow Western oil companies to get in there and get their fingers in that sweet Venezuelan crude oil. See, right now it's nationalized. The Venezuelan government has taken it over. So American foreign policy is to take one socialist, as bad as he is. I'm no Maduro fan. It's just that, I don't know, it's not our country. Kind of up to the Venezuelan people. Seems like they've made a monumental mistake allowing socialists to take over their country. That's on them, not us. But we're going to take out the evil socialist Maduro and put in our own socialist that'll just play ball with the oil companies. And Republicans just stood up, as did Democrats, in the House, I mean, in the chambers there at the speech, to applaud the installation of one socialist after removing another one.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. You know, I'm taking to task this Republican move to use the federal government for a bunch of stuff and hand out stuff. It's socialism. And I'm reminded, was it Ronald Reagan who said, you know, Ronald Reagan was known, he was a Democrat for the longest time. This is back in the 60s when the Democrats weren't completely insane. And Ronald Reagan changed and became a Republican. And his, I believe this is the quote attributed to him. He said, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. And, you know, that's me with the Republican Party. I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me. I still believe that paid family leave is a socialist program, but the Republicans now embrace that. I still believe that pre-existing conditions could be handled by the private market or charities. We know we used to have charity hospitals. Do you even know this? Most people don't. Do you know healthcare didn't used to be this screwed up? The government screwed it up. And so I'm looking at this party that I was once just an adherent to, but I still have the same beliefs, but they don't. It's not me. I'm just looking at these things happening and saying, why am I the only person that, you know, says I'm for small, limited government, which is a talking point of the Republican Party, but it's not what they do. This was an interesting story about this Juan Guaido stuff, which is just a disaster. An absolute disaster in Venezuela. The fact we just picked a president. This is the Mike Pence, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Marco Rubio, Elliot Abrams operation that has failed so spectacularly. So I just ran across this story. I played the clip before the end of the hour of Juan Guaido addressed as Mr. President at the State of the Union address. And the funny thing is, you know, I talk about it, I don't really like these speeches because they're prepared by professional speechwriters and they're advised by political advisors. So you're not getting the true state of the union. You're getting essentially, look how great we're doing because of me. And that's not just Trump. That's Obama and Bush and Clinton and Bush and Reagan and Carter. I mean, it's all of them. And I don't think Trump ever really had a big appetite for this Venezuela operation. When it was going on hot and heavy, Trump didn't really make a lot of comments about it. Mike Pence kind of took the lead on this thing, along with Mike Pompeo, Marco Rubio, John Bolton. They were the ones that were insistent on this Venezuela regime change. And so that's why I was so surprised to see that Trump, but you know what happened was his speechwriters gave him a speech that introduced Juan Guaido. His political advisors said, you need to read this. And during the speech, listen to this, what was going on in Venezuela during or immediately after the speech, six American oil executives under house arrest in Venezuela were rounded up by police hours after President Donald Trump met Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro's chief opponent at the White House, according to family members of the men. And the story just goes on. These men have been in trouble down there since 2017, so let me just do a little conjecture here. I don't know if this is the case, but it's kind of what it feels like. That our deep state at the State Department and CIA and USAID, you know, they all got together and they said, boy, Venezuela controlling all that oil. They've got huge reserves there and locking our, you know, our companies out. We need to change that. Now, there's precedent for this. Again, I could spend the rest of the show talking about the coups and all the oil wars that we fight. Overthrowing the Iranian government in 1953 so that Western oil powers could get back into there because they had nationalized their oil too. They wanted to use it for the Iranian people, not for Western oil companies. And so we went in and overthrew the Iranian government in 1953. Iran would be a very vastly different country right now. They would not be run by mullahs in Iran had we not done that. But we have a long history of this. So here's what I suspect. What I suspect is in 2017, the oil executives were all gathering in Venezuela because they knew the policy was going to come out of this Mike Pompeo, John Bolton machine, that they were going to topple Nicolas Maduro, install their own socialist puppet. Again, Juan Guaido is a socialist, a far left socialist, but he was going to play ball. He made his deal with the devil, which was, hey, You know, Juan Guaido, I think the most votes he ever got in an election, he's basically like just a representative to the state house, essentially, is what Juan Guaido is. And I think his the most votes he ever got in Venezuela was from his district, and it was something like 80,000 votes in a country of millions of people. And they came to Juan Guaido and they said, hey, look, if you play ball with us and you promise us that when you get in there, you're going to let us get in there and get a taste of that sweet crude oil you got, we're going to install you in power. How's that for a deal? And Juan Guaido went, wow, I'm kind of a nobody here. I mean, he was, you know, one of the leaders of the House there, but he wasn't widely recognized. I think it was something like 70% of the people in Venezuela had never even heard his name before. But we picked our stooge. We said, if you give us access to the oil, we'll just install you as president. And Juan Guaido went, wow, okay, that sounds great. So these oil executives were probably in Venezuela in 2017, starting to put together the plan on as soon as the U.S. pulled the trigger and ousted the Maduro regime and put in our puppet who was going to play ball with oil companies, how they were going to divvy up Venezuelan oil. Unfortunately for them, the Mike Pompeo, Marco Rubio, Mike Pence plan failed miserably. And these oil executives were in there, kind of in the starter stance, you know. And as soon as they install Juan Guaido, our puppet, we got to get straight to the refineries and start taking them over. Get straight to the oil fields and start seizing them. They were in their starting positions, and then wah, wah, wah. The coup failed. Maduro clung to power. And he sought to retaliate against these oil executives that were in his country plotting to go in and loot the place. That's just my suspicion. I could be wrong, but history tells me I've got a leg to stand on there. I guess I'll take a quick break. I wanted to tell you, did you see this? There's an Amazon story I wanted to cover that leads me into... It's a mess. what are we doing here, people? What are we doing? Really, today's show is going to be the socialism of the Republican Party. And I don't want to report on that. I wish I could have just stayed a Republican. It would have been so easy. Everybody would like me so much. I could use the terms like we and them. To me, when I say us on this show or we, I mean American people, the 99.99% of us who don't have our puppet strings working this system. We don't have our fingers in the pie. We're just going along with whatever. That's when I say the we, that's it. But it would be so much easier if I could just do the we, meaning us Republicans versus them, the evil Democrats. But I'm sitting here looking at my notes and I'm thinking, what is the Republican Party doing? They are taking you to socialism. You're so scared of Bernie Sanders' presidency, as you should be. Me too. I'm with you. He dares to even say out loud he's a socialist. But you're actually supporting a party that is just socialist light at this point. Now, they give some good lip service and some good protections on Second Amendment stuff, some good pro-life stances on the right. There are some redeeming things to the Republican Party, and they do seem to be more professional and more adult. I'll give you. The left has gone hysterical. They're insane at this point. But this is a walk and chew gum moment. You can fight off the left and vote in your Republicans, but then why don't we make them be accountable to some of the things that they say they're going to do when they're actually in office? I'll start off with Amazon, and then I'll take you into more examples of exactly what I'm talking about here. This is pure insanity. I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're back. Mike Madison Show, WYAB. Phone number 601-879-0002. I had one person email me and said that, Trump cannot get a third term because he was acquitted in the Senate. I've seen no evidence for this, but I am asking if anybody has, because I'm hearing people talk about this, and I want to make sure that I'm accurate. I've seen nothing of no proof of the idea that Trump gets a mulligan for his first term because he was under investigation. It almost kind of makes some common sense, doesn't it? You know, if you attack him for 4 years, 3 years, hold him up on a bunch of stuff, he should get to do it over again. But look, Trump's a big boy. I never heard him on the campaign stump say, look, you know, I'm going to get in there, I'm going to make all these changes unless the Democrats are mean to me. I mean, he never said that. He's a big guy. Presidents are opposed all the time. The Democrats' opposition to Donald Trump, unprecedented, at least in my lifetime, granted. But again, Mike Madison at WYAB.com, if you have any evidence that Trump gets another term, like I say, maybe I'm falling for some troll joke. Maybe this is just one of these inside joke type things with Trump supporters, and I'm just too daft to know it. But it just sounded, when I've heard people talk about it, they seem serious. I got a couple of stories that I found interesting. It's coming up tax time. My stomach hurts every time I watch television now, and I'm not going to name the company. I don't even totally sure who they are, but there's a ad series running. You know, we get all the tax preparation ads at the beginning of the year because people start getting their W-2s and everything in, and people start preparing taxes. That makes my stomach hurt a little bit. And there's some company out there, one of the national companies out there, that's running commercials that say, we're all tax preparers. You know, we're all tax people now. We're all tax pros now. I guess it's saying, you know, if you use their software, you can do as good as anybody, whatever. It's just every time I hear we're all tax people now, I'm just think, yeah, we are. Man, I hate our tax system. Whew. Yeah, you got some rebel radio here right now. I'll tell you what, I'm just not putting up. It's nuts. Willie called during the break. He was asking. He said, off the record, he said, did you think there was anything wrong with Trump's call to Ukraine? And I said, no, absolutely not. The problem is the fact we give Ukraine billions of dollars in the first place, and they're not the only ones. We give all these countries all around the world billions of dollars. That's the real tragedy. And then I see a commercial. See, I tie these things together. This is how I think. This is odd. I know you're not used to this, but I look at commercials where we've got this national chain of tax preparation or tax prep software, whatever they are, that come out and say, we're all tax people now. I tie that to Ukraine aid. That's the leaps my mind can make, because I'm like, yeah, we're all tax slaves, and they're just doling it out to other countries. $2 billion to Ukraine. People upset we didn't give it to them fast enough. Anyway, I'm going to get to it in just a second. Would you like a 1.2% tax rate? How would you like a 1.2% tax rate? Look, I'm for zero, but I would do with 1.2%. I'd shut up. I'd stop talking about it about 90% of the time. I'd go down to a taco and to it about a 10% of much of the time as I did if we had a 1.2% tax rate. Well, I'll tell you who does have a 1.2% tax rate in just a second. We got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir, I'm with you.
Hey, how are you?
You mentioned about Reagan saying that the party had left him.
Is that right? Did I get that right? Was that his quote?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I'd like to echo that sentiment myself. Former Democrat, basically a one-issue voter. I was a lifelong member of organized labor, and as you know, the Republicans tend to hate us. But the thing I noted in the rebuttal, I believe the governor of Michigan rebutted Trump's State of the Union.
Oh, I forgot about the rebuttal. Yeah.
She sounded like a Democrat from a generation ago, back in the Bill Clinton years.
Yeah.
Which is completely different from what they are now. And I'm surprised that they got her to deliver the message.
Really?
If they knew what her message was going to be. Because it didn't sound anything like Ocasio-Cortez, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's stunning to understand, in a relatively short period of time, there's no way Barack Obama from 2008 right now would carry the mantle on the Democratic Party. He would be seen as a homophobe, a xenophile. I mean, he was too moderate for the Democratic Party now. And that's only been, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So, have you actually switched your registration, or do you just not support the lunatics that are on the left right now?
The last time I voted for a Democrat, it was Bill Clinton. When I vote since then, I've been voting Republican because, as you said before, the party moved away from my position.
Yeah.
And being a one-issue voter, I've always been conservative. I have a concealed carry permit, and I'm armed right now.
So you're one of these yellow dog or blue dog Democrats. I mean, you know, they talk about them all the time, and I think Trump tapped into some of those in this last election. But I mean, I am stunned by some of the people that I know that have been Democrats. And again, I'm not a Republican. I'm not ever trying to recruit for the other party. You know, I'm just saying. I look at some of those, I say, how? And I've talked to several Democrats who are the same way. They say they disagree with all this global warming hysteria. They disagree with transgender people reading to preschool kids. You know, they see
Absolutely.
The lunacy. It feels like they have got to
be. That disgusts me. I tell you, I was listening to, I believe, Mark Stein on subbing for Limbaugh the other day.
Yeah.
And he went into one of the most entertaining rants I've heard on radio. About abortion rights for transgender women.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
That was wonderful to hear.
Yeah, it is true insanity. I mean, and the left, and I've been talking about this since it came on air, it is so odd. They seem to really make a big deal on targeting these tiny little slivers of society. You know, I don't know what transgenderism in this country is, but it's a fraction of 1%, but they really throw all their chips onto that. And they throw all their chips onto these really small minority groups. And they've decided they don't care about middle-class people and white males. And it's stunning that they're competitive in any races with that strategy.
I tell you something, if your listeners remember a fellow named Gene Taylor that used to be our representative on the coast.
Yeah, right.
He's pretty close to where I was at.
Yeah, and Mississippi has had some of these people. The name is, who was the really very, very popular Democrat here for a long time that, you know, and he was one of those people that Republicans would go across the aisle and vote for because they were calm. I mean, we have some little disagreements, but they were, lack of a better term, normal, you know, and professional people. So that did exist. And it just seems like it's just disappearing.
Well, anyway, I appreciate you taking my call. And
hey.
I just wanted to share that tidbit about the rebuttal to the State of the Union.
Yeah,
because I thought it was completely out of character from what we've seen from what the Democratic Party seems to be now.
Right. I'm going to check that out. That's very interesting. Hey, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate you calling in.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. And, you know, that is, it just feels like that's got to be, that man's experience has got to be huge in this country. And this is why I say, I believe Donald Trump's style is not serving him well. I think there are so many people ripe for the picking, so many people that have been left behind by this Democratic Party, because I know a lot of them. You know, this woman I talk about out in Denver, Colorado, that she's a Democrat. Matter of fact, during the State of the Union, or kind of leading up to it, I think, I talked to her for 2 hours. But such a better use of my time. Well, we didn't even talk politics. I did joke with her because she's not a Trump fan. But she's also not a radical leftist. She can't stand the global warming hysteria. She can't stand the transgender stuff. And she, you know, she's been a lifelong Democrat. And we were talking the other day. She said, oh, I'm just not even a Democrat anymore. There's got to be so many of those people. And I just don't think Trump has got the open arms for them. You might say his policies benefit those people. They should just wake up and realize that Trump's better for them than the others. But Trump is just, his style makes it hard to come to him and to go from being a Democrat. And look, we all travel in our circles, right? In our bubbles. your Facebook group of friends. You post to Facebook all your pro-Republican, pro-Trump stuff. Can you imagine all of a sudden just one day you decided, well, I don't like Trump anymore. I'm going to post Pelosi stuff on my to all my friends on Facebook. You'd be brutalized because people hate Pelosi. And Trump doesn't give people room to move over. That's just my opinion. There have got to just be millions and millions and millions of people out there that see the left. You know, they got the walkaway movement, that Brandon Strocker or whatever his name is, the gay guy, and he's a lifelong Democrat, and he's left and left this walkaway movement. I'm leading a walkaway movement of myself. And the problem is, it's not from one party to another. It's from either party just away. When I talk about my walkaway movement, it is just, let's just walk away from these parties. But I got to tell you, the Democratic Party's got to be losing people in the droves. Again, this is one of those reasons that if Trump does not have a landslide in November, then something's wrong. These Democrats, they're not even good candidates. They're not capable candidates. Trump should be scooping up Democrats right and left. Maybe he is. Maybe a lot of people say he is. I don't know. Polling doesn't seem to show it, but we will see. We're just a few months away from finding out. Anyway, when I come back, if you would like a 1.2% tax rate, I got to tell you, that kind of makes me a little excited. I think the hairs on my arms stand up a little bit thinking about the fact the Fed's coming to you for 1.2%. Well, there is one company out there. 1.2% was their tax rate. We'll talk about that and then where the money goes from you and me, because obviously we're the ones toting the majority of the income tax into this country. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, how would you like a 1.2% federal tax rate? Pretty sweet stuff, huh? Now, my ideal is zero. But they give me 1.2%. They give us all 1.2%. I'll stop talking about the IRS and individual income tax by 90%. I'll still grumble. Look, that's how pure I am in my belief that the American people do not wake up in the morning with any obligation to send money to politicians in Washington, D.C. I don't think it's constitutional. Founding fathers never would have imagined it. So 1.2% is too much for me. Last year, Yahoo Finance reported that Amazon paid a shockingly low amount in federal income taxes in 2018 on more than $11 billion in profits. They paid, anyone, zero last year. But this year, while the company says it has paid billions in taxes for the year in 2019, in reality, it only paid $162 million in federal income tax, an effective tax rate of 1.2% on over $13 billion in profits. Are any of you paying 1.2%? And look, if Amazon pays more in taxes, you know, they're going to make that up somewhere. The consumer's going to pay it. But still, it's obscene. And Amazon better pony up, because there was also this story I ran across yesterday. I talked about the 2018 numbers, but I think the 2019 numbers have just come out. And Amazon better get to... See, Amazon's not going to pay any more in taxes. They've got lobbyists. They're a billion-dollar global corporation. They'll have their way. You're going to pay more in the future. The Pentagon made $35 trillion in accounting adjustments last year alone. I didn't misspeak. Did you hear me when I said trillion? That's with a T, like in terrible and catastrophe. The Pentagon made $35 trillion in accounting adjustments last year alone, a total that's larger than the entire U.S. economy and underscores the Defense Department's continuing difficulty in balancing its books. $35 trillion is about 1.5 times the size of the entire U.S. economy, not to mention that the figure easily dwarfs the GDP of the entire combined nations of European continent. The latest estimate is up from $30.7 trillion in 2018 and $29 trillion in 2017. The first-year adjustments were tracked in a concerted way, according to Pentagon figures and a lawmaker who's pursued the accounting morass. Now, here's where it gets really beautiful. Spokeswoman for the President's Inspector General, Darina Allen, downplayed to what most Americans will sound like the makings of an explosive scandal. She says, in layman's terms, this means that the DOD made adjustments to accounting records without having documentation to support the need or amount for the adjustments. They're called plugs. This has been going on for quite a while. I track it here. No one else will, because on conservative radio, you don't dare question defense spending because that's patriotism. If somebody says national security, you click your heels together, you put your hand on your heart, or you salute, and you shut up, and you give them every dime they're entitled to. There was another part of the story. I thought I'd clipped it, but it said something like, the reason these adjustments are so big is because they have to make them, because they were saying sometimes the money changes hands 50 times before it's finally spent. That's the bureaucracy you Republicans are cheering for. 50 times. I guess the first transaction would be when they pull it out of your pocket and you send it to the Treasury Department. That's one. Then the Treasury Department sends it to the Department of Defense. That's two. I guess there's 48 more times before the money's spent. $35 trillion in accounting adjustments. And they have no supporting documentation for those accounting adjustments. They make them up. So just to be clear on exactly how our government works and why I sit behind this microphone with such great dissatisfaction here, regardless of the party in control, the Pentagon can account for $30 trillion a year. That's 30 trillion with a T. $30 trillion a year. But if you short the IRS by $146 this year when you file your federal income taxes, they will find you. Trust me, they will find you for that $146 shortfall that you, the people, the little individual, didn't pay. They'll find you for that $146, and because you made a mistake on your taxes, you're also going to be responsible for fees, fines, penalties, and interest. That $146 may be $350. Why? Is it just? Is it fair? No, because they're going to tell you, don't you make a mistake again. $146. I'm just pulling that out of the air. It could be $60. It could be $500. It could be $10,000. Woo! Yikes, if it's $10,000, you better be looking over your shoulder. But the Pentagon is awash in taxpayer sweet cash, and they don't even have to pretend to know where it's going. And the Republican, again, I'm going to go back to this. The Republican Party left me. I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party's answer to this kind of fiscal mismanagement and waste, fraud, and abuse is, anyone, give them more money. And I'm pretty sure next year you'll be asked, not ask, you will enthusiastically support more money to increase the defense spending because you think it's patriotic. For the life of me, I don't know why. They're going to ask for more money. Which brings me to another point I've been wondering about. And I guess we're going to see this next year. The current military Defense Department budget is $738 billion right now. A fact that Donald Trump and Republicans actually use as a campaign talking point. And it's very effective because I know most people are not with me mentally. They are with Trump and the Republicans who believe we needed to rebuild our military. We needed to ignore the fact that for some reason our military couldn't make it on $600 billion a year. We needed to spend an extra, and Trump's figures are that we've spent $2 trillion to rebuild a military that had been getting $500 to $600 billion a year up to that point. Has anybody been held accountable for any of these problems? Anybody held accountable for the fact that a military could take in $600 billion a year, triple that of China that has quadruple the number of people we have, 10 times what Russia spends on their military? But even with 10 times what Russia spends Our military supposedly withered on the vine with $600 billion. Did anybody get in trouble for the fact that the American taxpayer has been looted for trillions and trillions of dollars and still managed to let the military equipment fail? No, of course not. They were probably promoted. Did Republicans ever say, we need to make our military more efficient? We need to tighten our belts and make sure that every dollar we spend on our military is for our troops and the finest equipment, but we need to find the inefficiencies and make sure that we can make do on a tight budget? No, they don't need to say those things because people don't care. Vast majority of so-called conservatives, I'm a fiscal conservative. Are you really? You cheer for higher budgets at a federal level? Well, it's the military. They're keeping us safe. No, they're building an empire for elites is what they're actually doing. That's where the money's going. Anyway, what I'm curious about, and we're going to find out probably in this next budget process, is that Donald Trump, I believe in the State of the Union, but in other speeches too, has said he has rebuilt our military. He says it cost $2 trillion, but he did it. And we now have this supreme fighting force. So was that a one-time charge? Or, you know, over the last 2 years, I guess, really, or last 2 or 3 years, Donald Trump's talked about the fact he's taken in this money. He spent this $2 trillion to rebuild the military. So am I safe to assume, then, that we can take military budget down? I mean, we've rebuilt it. Isn't that a one-time charge? I mean, it may be spaced over the course of a couple of years, but am I safe to assume that now that we're rebuilt and we've taken care of all the problems, that our next military budget won't be $738 billion, it'll only be $400 billion, right? Because we've already taken the charge of rebuilding. You know what I'm saying? If you remodel your home, if your kitchen has fallen into some level of disrepair and you take out a loan or you spend $20,000 to repair your kitchen, then for those years that you're remodeling and restyling your kitchen, you have this $20,000 expense, right? But the year after the kitchen's completed, you just have maintenance of the kitchen. There's some costs. You got to clean it. You might have a small repair to the oven or something like that. You might need to do a little paint. You might need to replace a light fixture. But it's nowhere near that $20,000 you spent for the remodel when you really got your kitchen up and functioning. Your budget for kitchen goes down to what? $1,000 a year, maybe. Is that what we can assume out of military spending? I know the answer, of course. I'm being silly. Now, the $738 billion military budget now will be $750 billion, $760 billion, $770 billion, which is strange to me because we've already rebuilt it. Why do you need to continue to spend increasing amounts of money once you've already accomplished what you went for? But, of course, they are going to have to fund this Iran war that they're going to sell you. It's a very interesting thing to me to see. Again, a massive military bureaucracy that takes in money from its citizens and has it exchange hands 50 times before it gets to where it's spent and cannot account for $35 trillion of accounting adjustments or accounting expenditures within the course of 1 year is a socialist situation. That is a massive bureaucracy that fleeces the American taxpayer and inefficiently tries to do what governments do, which is create 50 layers between taking money in and putting it out. This, again, is where the Republican Party is just socialist light. Is there a term for that? There's got to be a term for that somewhere. I'll try to figure it out. I just wonder if anybody hearing this, the next time they go to a Republican, because you got Cindy Hyde-Smith, she's going to be running for office coming up. You always have your representatives running for office. When you go to that next Republican rally and they talk about, we're increasing military budgets, what they're going to say is things like, to take care of our men and women who serve in uniform. But the men and women in uniform, they get cost of living adjustment just like Social Security recipients do. It's not like they're not getting rich. Are you going to cheer for that? As a fiscal conservative, are you going to cheer for increasing defense spending? At the same time, you cheer for people who say we need to end the wars in the Middle East? Is that at all intellectually compatible? It's fascinating to me. And the even the more amazing thing is that you've got $35 trillion in accounting adjustments that are made up out of whole cloth. They have no documentation to support any of these adjustments. $35 trillion. This is not even a story. For many of you, this is the first you're hearing of it. Unless you've listened to my show before, I have talked about the 2018 numbers of, you know, back when it was just a little $30.7 trillion. Now it's $35 trillion. But if you haven't listened to the show, probably have heard it nowhere. And that leads me to something else, too. Again, I didn't listen to the State of the Union, but did Donald Trump bring up the national debt at all? He was standing in front of a room full of the people who actually write the checks that control the purse strings of this country. Did he wag his finger at him and scold him and say, hey, this is nutso. You're taking in record revenues, but somehow layering on top of that record debt. You can't do that anymore. It's time for us to get our fiscal house in order and stop these ballooning deficits because there are kids behind us who are going to inherit this debt. Did he wag his finger at him and talk about the ballooning national debt and deficits? During the break, I'll take a look and see if I can find a clip of where, during the State of the Union, the debt was discussed at all. I have a suspicion I'm going to come back at the other side of this break empty-handed. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment here. I'm not getting invited to any Republican Party cocktail parties anytime soon. I can guarantee you of that. I looked. I was curious to know. I didn't watch the State of the Union speech, so I was wondering what they said about the debt. Now, Donald Trump was standing in front of the people who have been signing the checks and dooming future generations to a life of tax servitude or default, one of the two. Now, default, we're always going to pay our bills. Let me just tell you right now. The United States will not just tell a bondholder or a Social Security recipient or somebody like that, there's no money left for you, we're bankrupt, we're not going to do it. They're just going to print it. And it's going to make the value of the dollar be just basically worthless. You know the stories of Zimbabwe when they were carrying their currency in wheelbarrows, literally, to go buy a loaf of bread. Now, probably won't be quite like that in the United States, but similar. Like we have socialism light here instead of socialism, we'll have hyperinflation light here instead of Zimbabwe-style hyperinflation. But this is a thing that, I don't know, we should be concerned of for our kids and grandkids. I am. Maybe I'm alone on that one, too. Maybe I'm out on an island. We seem to use the approach with debt and deficits that maybe if we don't talk about it, nobody will notice. I found a couple of articles at first when I looked it up because I wanted to be fair. As I said before the break, I'm going to look and see if Trump mentioned the debt. He's standing in front of the people who are actually passing these budgets and wasting taxpayer dollars. That's the best time ever to put them on the spot and say, look, American people, here they are. I'm telling them right now, you need to balance your budgets. And quit loading up future generations with debt. That was his chance. Apparently he whiffed. But at first I found a Reason article. Now Reason is a libertarian magazine. Go ahead and tell you that straight up front. And I saw the headline, what about the debt? Trump's State of the Union ignores a $20 trillion time bomb. I pulled that story up first, but then I saw the dateline on it. It was from 2018. So, so he missed it on 2018, maybe other things to get to, but surely he discussed the debt in his 2020 State of the Union. The fiscal watchdogs at the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget note that Trump made no mention of the national debt, which has risen by $2.8 trillion since he took office, or the deficit, which has surged above $1 trillion. So that was from this year. So apparently we are, this is our, this is like some kind of a horror movie approach to, you know, your family moves into a house and you start seeing some funky things. You might have a ghost. Well, maybe if we just don't talk about it, it'll just go away. That apparently is our strategy when it comes to the debt. Look, I'm looking at all of my notes from today, and it's a whole lot of Republican socialism. Putting Juan Guaido, the socialist, in charge of socialist Venezuela, a Republican platform. Paid family leave, 3 months paid vacation at the federal worker level. That's already done. That's a socialist program done by the Republicans. And the Democrats, trust me, the Democrats love this too, but you would think the Republicans might oppose giving federal workers 3 months off paid. But not satisfied with that, the Republican Party is behind paid family leave even in the private sector, forcing small business owners whose budgets are tight, they're trying to make a living, trying to grow, but they are going to have to use assets they might have used to hire other people and to grow their business. They're going to use that to be able to plug up holes of their employees that now, by federal mandate, will be allowed to take 3 months paid off. The Pentagon can't account for $35 trillion. We don't talk about that. The national debt at $22 trillion, $23 trillion, with $120 trillion in unfunded liabilities. We just don't, we don't talk about it. We don't even whisper about it, because that is so inconvenient to the idea of fiscal responsibility that they campaign on that it would really make them look bad if they talked about it out loud, I guess. I'm telling you, you may reject Bernie Sanders, as I do, but you might want to look in the mirror. The Republican Party's turning into socialism light. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.